stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my father, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome on into the show. Second hour here on this TGIF. Thank God it is Friday, 7-11, July the 11th, 2025 edition. We're going to hook up Pastor Chatfield into the show right now. He's got a great topic for us available for today. Technology, love it when it works, hate it when it doesn't. We're going to get him connected here shortly. United States Military History Quiz. We're going to have Pastor Chatfield quiz us a little bit today. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yes. Here, you guys said you wanted more of this, so let's do more.
Let's do more per the radio family's request. That's what they're looking for.
Okay. So these are most, the beginning are pretty easy. And I looked these up online and said, oh, which questions would be easy and not so easy? And some, I asked, hey, I need harder questions. The harder ones I got, I couldn't get, for some of them at least. Pretty difficult. But I'll add some questions. So here we go. All right, quiz. Number one. What war is considered the first major conflict involving the American colonies and European powers? When did a major war, not counting Indian Wars, which there were that preceded the arrival of the Europeans, what was the first war in the North American continent?
North American continent, Europeans. Now, that would not include Great Britain, correct?
No, it would. It would. Well, Great Britain was a part of it.
Okay, well, then would that be our Revolutionary War?
Before that.
Before that.
Before that.
Okay. Yeah. How many years before, approximately?
About 18, 15 years before.
Whoa. Spanish-American War.
No, that's way later.
That's right. That's later. Okay. Man, you got me stumped. I'm not sure.
The French and Indian War. It was
what I meant. It wasn't the Spanish. Yes, it was. Yes, because isn't that the one where George Washington and Robert E. Lee and others fought together in that war, I believe.
Okay, all right. Washington, yes, not Robert E. Lee.
The British.
Light Horse Lee. Lee's father was a young in the Revolution, but not the French and Indian War. It was the French and Indians who aligned themselves against the British, and the British and Americans won, and we were fighting, the English Americans, we were fighting for Britain. It was the French and Indian War gave experience, especially to Washington, made him a leader, and it threw into effect a bunch of things that happened. Hey, who's going to pay for this war? Now, the British expected, hey, colonists, we fought this war for you, now you're going to pay for it. And after the war, we expected the Redcoats to go home. They didn't. And and who's going to pay for it? Oh, well, you're going to pay for it. We're going to start taxing you.
Right.
And so
right.
A lot of things happened after the French and Indian War. The major battle was the Battle of Quebec, or on the Plains of Abraham, where the British defeated the French. And that's when Canada, even French Canada, became were controlled by Great Britain, and were for a couple hundred years almost.
Sure.
So that the French and Indian War was the first major battle in the North American among European powers, and it set a lot of things into motion that which would eventually lead to the Revolutionary War.
Right. We're going to talk about that too, because a couple of ideas came to mind on it. So we'll hold those thoughts. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation, or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go, and you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our discussion of military, historical military events in our history. Before we get there, Pat Chatfield, you mentioned, when I said Spanish American, I meant French Indian. My brain wasn't working right. But here, let me ask you this question, though. For a point of clarification, the war was between us and basically France at the time, correct?
Correct. Great Britain. Great Britain and France had the whole century they were at war. They were at war off and on for 100 years, just off and on.
This is between France and Great Britain, and we got dragged into it because of the location territory here. But the point is, we were basically at war with the French, correct? Being that we were part of Great Britain's side.
Yes, yes. And the Indians. The Indians aligned with the French.
Ah, French-Indian War, obviously. Okay, now, because of that, and like you said, it just happened, you know, not even a couple of decades earlier. How was it then we were able to repair that relationship and get France's Navy to help us defeat the British when it came to our Revolutionary War just a few years later?
Because the French did not like the British, and they understood we were American colonists. And the French aligned with us during the Revolution just to put it to the British, you know. And they were rivals in Europe and had been for a long time. They were off and on war for a long time. And this was just an opportunity to put it to the British. That's why they aligned with us. And after the Battle of Saratoga, when we defeated the British in upstate New York, hey, the Americans got a chance to win. Let's help them. And that was negotiated by Ben Franklin over in France.
Got it. So able through all that diplomatic actions by Adams, along with the fact that they still hated Great Britain, is what we basically were able to take advantage of.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Excellent. All right, good. I'm glad you clarified that up. That's good. Now, the next one. Let's hear what the next one is, and you guys join me. Okay, if I can't get it, I need backup here, so you guys text me. if I say I don't know, you have like 5 seconds to send me a text. Okay, go ahead.
Exactly. Who was the commander of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War?
George Washington.
George Washington. Very good, very good. It's very easy.
Yeah.
First in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen. That led to him eventually being the guy that was president of the Constitutional Convention and then later first president of the United States. It's hard to imagine the United States of America without George Washington. There was a biography called The Indispensable Man. It's hard to imagine America existing without Washington's leadership. Okay, let me give you another one. Number three. This is kind of, their answer is kind of controversial, but I'll read it. Three, what event is considered the spark that ignited the American Civil War?
Fort Sumter.
Yes, the firing, that's what the answer is. But in reality, it was by that time, by spring or near spring of 1861, the war was going to happen. Lincoln was able to, he wanted to hold one fort. He wanted to hold at least one fort and force the Confederacy to fire first. That is Buchanan, James Buchanan, the 15th president, basically did nothing as all these United States forts were just basically surrendered to the Confederacy. He wanted them to fire first. So we can say, hey, we're just defending federal property. So that, but there were so many other sparks. I mean, it's hard to, you know, that was just the thing that got the war going. Okay, number four. This is pretty easy, too. Which battle is known as the turning point of the Civil War?
Gettysburg.
Gettysburg, for sure. That was it. Never again would Lee venture into the North. Yes, it. In other words, the South did get a lot of more victories. In 1864, Lee defeated Grant numerous times. Battle of Cold Harbor was a terribly bloody Union defeat. There were a lot of defeats, but that was the turning point of the war for sure. Okay, five, very easy. Who was president of the United States during the Civil War?
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. Too easy, too easy.
Well, no, okay. You know, now come on. I pay attention to your history lessons that we've been doing for over 10 years now. I'm a good student of yours, so don't say it's easy. It's just, you know what? I shouldn't even answer. I should just let people text it in because
if they have their questions.
I listen to you too much. Okay, go ahead. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Next one. This might be, and again, this is not quite true. Their answer that I got on the internet. Hey, can't believe everything on the internet, but I get what they're saying. Six, what event brought the United States into World War One? What event of the United States, what event brought the United States into World War One? World War One began in 1914. We entered the war in 1917. The war ended in 1918.
I know, but I'm going to hold off. You guys got 5 seconds. Send me a text if you can. Send it to me real quick. I believe I learned this from Mr. Goyke in my U.S. history class, and I'm going to say it was assassination of Ferdinand, I believe.
That's what started, that's the spark that started the war, the assassination of Archduke Francis Ferdinand of Serbia. And so what had happened, all these the smaller Balkan countries were aligned with the larger powers, and boom, everybody went to war because of that. There was a bunch of alliances, entangling alliances, and they were committed to going to war. That's, by the way, that's the argument people say today. Let's not be in all these entangling alliances as we are because of NATO. If one NATO country goes to war, we have to go with it. Or if one NATO country is attacked, we are by treaty obligated to defend them. And that could drag us into a war. That's why a lot of people don't want the Ukraine in NATO, because if Ukraine was a part of NATO and Russia attacked them again, we'd be obligated to go to war. And who knows where that would end. Okay. Anybody give an answer out there?
I got one response that was my response, but that was the event you're saying that triggered it. Did that ultimately lead, you're saying, also then to our involvement a couple of years later, though, you're saying?
Well, indirectly. And that is what the general answer is, the sinking of Lusitania, which was a luxury liner that did have some armaments on board, and it was sunk, and a lot of Americans died. Because the only thing the Germans could do was, the British Navy was way better than their Navy, and they had submarines called U-boats in those days, and they sank that. But we protested, and then the Germans stopped and apologized, okay. But then in 1917, they announced the resumption of unrestricted submarine warfare. And that's what brought us in. Say, okay, if you're going to, you're already saying you're going to sink any ship you want crossing the Atlantic, that's too much. We're going to enter the war. So it really wasn't the sinking of the Lusitania, although you could make that argument, but I'd say not really. So, yeah. Okay, number seven. You might get this one. This is a little bit more difficult. What was the code name for the Allied invasion of Normandy in World War II? It was called Operation what? Operation blank.
Overlord.
Correct. Operation Overlord. We talked about that many times.
Yes.
What a massive planning that had to be to get that right. Okay.
On that particular issue, D-Day, June 6, 1944. Why have you noticed, especially this year, for some reason, did you notice that there wasn't a lot of media coverage? There wasn't a lot of news stories about it. I mentioned it on the show because, of course, you know, in last year of 24, you know, that was the 80-year anniversary, if I was doing my math correct. But did you notice a lot of news people and a lot of news organizations didn't cover D-Day this past year? Did you notice that? I didn't, but I
believe it. Yeah. Why would I believe it? These people say, oh, conspiracy. Look, the major networks, except for Fox, mm-hmm. they don't want to show President Trump over there being presidential and speaking about D-Day and giving him any credit whatsoever, having President Trump look presidential and strong and powerful and being a leader. They'd just rather not do it. So they would minimize that. That would be my theory. That's my theory.
Because that was before the November 5th, 2024 election.
Yes, so, that would have been Biden then.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Listen, just occasionally turn over and watch CNN or MSNBC. And I do. Just because that's just like they're living in a different reality over there.
I try to do it like you've told us to do this. You know, you always check them out. You said you see what the other side is talking about. And I got to tell you, I sit there and I can handle maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes of it. And it gets to be like you say, it's like a parallel universe where it's like, what are these people breathing? Where are these people living? Oh, my God, they're not even human, you know, with some of their comments they come out with. And their theories, and it was like, for example, that horrific disaster we just went through, the Guadalupe River down there in Texas, blaming it on Trump. And right. I'm like, what?
Everything. By the way, it's the opposite of Sean Hannity, which I don't watch Sean that much. Why? Because his is a 1-hour commercial for President Trump.
Yes.
Which, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would like a little news occasionally.
Oh, my God. He gets stuck on a topic, and he'll do 2-3 nights of it. It's like, Sean, my God, brother, move on. You've been talking about this since Monday, and it's Wednesday night already. Let's go.
And I like Sean Hannity, and I'm a big supporter of President Trump, but I want some news, too. So be it.
Yeah.
Okay. The next question. Very easy. Number 8. What event led to the United States entering the World War II?
December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor.
Of course, absolutely. Very easy. Number 9, who was the supreme commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force in Europe during World War II? Who was the supreme Allied commander?
That would have been Eisenhower.
Correct. He was the one. He had the overall call. He had to make the call.
Yeah. Now, one thing on that point, I wanted to ask you about that. Why did they come up with that particular title, Supreme Leader? I mean, it was like, I didn't understand that. Was there ever any historical reasoning as to why they came up with that particular title for that position?
I don't know. I mean, here was one deal. Back in those days, and I think it's still true today.
Yeah.
American president said, no, American troops under American commanders. You want us, we're going to have the commander. And we were the most powerful nation of the Allies. And that is true. And it is true that Eisenhower and Churchill had a good relationship. They had a good relationship. And so did Roosevelt. And I will tell you this, too, that Charles de Gaulle, the leader of the Free French, didn't have a good relationship with anybody. I mean, none of the Allied leaders liked
de Gaulle. They all didn't like him, correct?
They did not like de Gaulle. He was obstinate and in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, stubborn Frenchman. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, this one's kind of a tricky question. I'll give you my answer.
Well,
I'll give
you know what? Let me, because we're getting up to a break here. I want you to hold that particular one. I did get one comment that said Eisenhower, I don't know if this is accurate or not, did not want that title, Supreme Leader. I don't know if you know anything about that. We'll get into all that. We're going to take a bottom of the hour news break. More with Pastor Chatfield. Military quiz on this Friday, July the 11th. Bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan.